I want you to imagine the sensation of watching this movie, watching this movie, and then any time an explosion happens,
the whole climax.
The whole climax of the movie. Just imagine a child sitting behind you, kicking your seat as hard as they fucking can.
I don't know what to do about that one. Fuck. Welcome to the Weeb Crew Podcast. I'm your host, Movie.
Oh, I guess we're just starting again.
We're recording now. I am recording now.
Okay.
There's like 30 minutes of audio that I just lost. It's fine.
Yeah, that sucks. And I didn't have a backup. And we had a really good talk about like some absurd Detective Conan stuff. All right. Well.
You didn't record that on your end, did you? No,
I did not. That's unfortunate. Yeah.
It happens. It actually has not happened all that often. This is the first time, actually, that we've like.
I think it might be the first time we've actually completely lost audio.
Yeah. So it's, it's only 30 minutes. And most of that was just like Patreon. It's fine. Sorry, Patreon listeners.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be possible to dig around later and find it. Probably not.
It kept deleting things. I'm like, no, they're all gone. This is all gone. It's fine. I'm surprised it needs, like, it's running out of space. I have 20 gigabytes free.
That's not a lot of space, mind you.
Not a lot, but that's a lot for fucking Audacity. You don't need fucking 8 gigs.
True, but it's also like, delete some shit, goddammit. What the fuck?
I delete shit. All right.
Not a lot, it sounds like.
I mean, I deleted quite a bit.
Uninstall Elden Ring.
I don't have that many games downloaded, actually. And the games I do have downloaded are like ones that kind of have like mods and stuff I don't want to have to like fuck with again.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess let's just run an intro again. All right, well, this was a disaster. Hello and welcome to the Weeb Crew. I'm your host, Psyotic, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Moomy.
This is only the second worst thing that happened this week.
the worst thing was the Chainsaw Man movie, obviously.
Yeah, that was terrible. Fucking, oh my God.
All right, well, I guess let's get back into it. So let's just talk about our experiences seeing the movie, I guess.
The theater experience. Mine was terrible.
Yes.
Fucking trying to find a theater was a pain in the ass. Like, there are a lot of showings, right? It is like in every fucking theater. Figuring out which showing is subtitled or dubbed in 4D or 8D chess or whatever the fuck is a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. We're like, it wasn't even labeled properly. So I just go to the theater. Mind you, theaters fucking scam you these days. So I go to the theater to buy tickets and they're like, oh, you can only buy the nosebleed fucking scum of the earth tickets. So I was like, oh, okay. I guess it's just a busy theater. No one showed up for like the 15 minutes we're like fucking sitting there.
Yeah. So
we just fucking like move seats. I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that theaters were scamming people.
Wait. You moved seats and like still no one showed up to be like, hey, these are our seats?
Nope.
Oh, well, like what? All right, sure. Yeah, I guess they are just scamming people. Maybe what we seem to have uncovered is a conspiracy theory to inflate this movie's box office numbers. It's like, oh no, we're gonna get killed by Mossad now. We've seen something that we're not supposed to see.
We broke through the conditioning.
I saw this movie in 4D and it was fucking terrible.
Yeah, what is 4D for this?
Okay, so it's 3D. The movie's in 3D. It gave me like 3D glasses, which I'll talk about like the 3D aspect in a minute.
Uh-huh.
But 4D, what it does is it turns the movie into a fucking theme park ride. Because what it does is it'll like blow wind in your. I want you to imagine the sensation of watching this movie. Watching this movie, and then anytime an explosion happens,
the whole climax.
Like, the whole climax of the movie, just imagine a child sitting behind you kicking your seat as hard as they fucking can. Okay? Oh, and that is, that, and that will give you a, that will give you just a slight idea of what it's like seeing this movie in 4D. The seats, by the way, horribly uncomfortable. It's like, imagine being like on an old wooden roller coaster. It's just like, honestly, I feel like my back hurts a little bit after seeing this movie.
I'm just imagining the entire climax with the fucking typhoon. And someone just
It was a fucking nightmare. It was a waking fucking nightmare. It's like, and I like the idea is like, oh, it's supposed to be like more immersive, and it's like, no, this is like anti-immersive. This is like, anytime the fucking seat moves, it immediately takes me out of them. They had shit like, thank god, like on the seat they had like a button that said water on, water off, and I guess they had like what were supposed to be jets in front of me that are meant to like spray water on you. Thankfully they didn't, it just like sprayed air, because I can't imagine the end of this movie where they're fighting like the fucking like typhoon demon,
and just like 20 minutes.
I'm just like watching the movie getting waterboarded, you know. God.
Fucking bottom.
It's really fucking terrible. I don't understand. Thankfully, this was a nearly empty theater. I think there were maybe 3-4 other people in this theater with me. But yeah, it was. The movie was good. I really liked the movie, honestly. But Jesus H. I mean, I guess I kind of knew. I kind of had an idea. I was like, oh, this movie's available in 4D. And like, what the fuck does that mean? I guess I'll go see it. You know, I decided to fuck around, and boy, did I ever find out.
It's also in 3D. Like the worst movie to watch in 4D.
Well, what other movie are you supposed to watch in 4D? Are you supposed to watch like the pretentious like European character drama that Makima and Denji see in the movie?
I think the live action Attack on Titan movie by Toho, I think that was made for 4D in mind.
Okay.
Like, I think they had like moments that, like, it made sense, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
This is just like
doing like the opening sequence for the movie. The opening sequence for the movie, the chairs were shaking to the rhythm of the song.
No.
And it's like, why? Jesus Christ, why? Or like, there was like,
watch the movie.
It's like a POV shot of like Aki like sitting down and eating breakfast, and the seats were like subtly leaning forward and backwards to like emulate that movement. It's like, why? Is this made for like kids with like horrific ADHD that like cannot focus no matter what? So why even try? I don't get it.
I would literally just stand up with my arms crossed in the middle of the theater the rest of the time.
Just get up and like sit on the side or something. Like, I'm not fucking dealing with this.
This is fucking stupid.
The other component to that, though, the other component is the movie was in 3D, which was interesting because it's a 2D animated movie. So I'm like, how are they going to do that? How's this going to work? And the way that they did it, basically, is kind of interesting, where they just kind of amplified like the animatic effect, essentially, where you now just get more of a sense of like the discrete space between like the layers of the image. So like the different like characters and like the background and stuff, those all feel more separated. And that was kind of neat to see. That honestly was not very distracting, just because that was a constant factor throughout the movie, so you just get adjusted to it as you're watching it. Unlike the fucking shaking, where I shit you not, the movie went 30 fucking minutes, not a single movement, and as soon as she fucking pulls the goddamn pin out of her neck, it's like, I need to go see a fucking chiropractor tomorrow. God, it's like getting the worst
from
massage
the fucking concussive blast.
Yeah, it's like I'm fucking suing the theater. I got a herniated disc now.
Listen, I have an NDA I had to sign with my lawyer. I can't talk about the rest of this movie.
They did, though, in addition, they gave me like a bag of mystery goodies that I have not opened yet. I was waiting for us to record.
Oh, interesting.
to open this bag of what I am going to assume is just Funko Pops.
Oh no.
But let's see. Hold on. How the fuck do I? Okay, I think it's just like a Ziploc baggie. Here we go. Yeah.
Man, I can't believe your theater right, like gave you a bag of goodies. Mine just gave me hepatitis.
I don't know. What the fuck? This has nothing to do with Chainsaw Man. This is just like the fucking robot from the Borderlands movie.
What? Claptrap?
It's just a little figure of the fucking Claptrap robot from that horrible Borderlands movie they made.
I'm just imagining like some fat cat CEO like, listen, these fucking nerds didn't fucking did sick anything. Just give them
fucking offload. We made 10 million of these fucking things. And wait, okay.
And they're going to watch a stupid cartoon in 4D.
Okay, this is like way bigger. What the fuck is this thing? What is this brown turd?
They just gave you like a toy turd that you could put in your seat?
I don't know. I think I just need to tear this bag to like get this out because it's so fucking big, and this is like the only other thing in here seemingly. What the hell is this thing?
Oh, you got a claptrap and a turd.
What the fuck is this? This also has nothing to do with the Chainsaw Man movie. This is just a thing for the Mufasa movie, and it's just a fucking munted looking lion on the most sad pride rock I think I've ever fucking seen. Why did they just give me trash? What?
Great, the now fuck? I have to
it's
throw
hollow
this out.
As if I can like put something in here. Is there meant to be popcorn in here? What the fuck is this? What the fuck? Why did they just give me their fucking trash? What a fucking... I was excited. I was like, oh, I'm going to get some cool Chainsaw Man merch. Because I paid like $25 to see this movie in 4D.
No, they get like a Maki Maki chain.
Yeah, they just gave me fucking shit. What the fuck? Why? Why? And it's like just a guy. It was just like a guy. The guy that I took my ticket to and like scanned my ticket. And he was like, "Yeah, you want a bag? You want a bag of stuff too?" I'm like, "Oh sure!" I was so excited. And now, man, yeah, fuck this theater.
The problem was it wasn't bundled with the chainsaw. But they were just like, "You want this bag of trash?"
I guess they were just giving it because I remember when I was walking out of the theater, he was giving it to another guy. He's like, "Oh, that guy must be seeing the next showing of Chainsaw Man." No, they were just giving these out to literally anyone going to see any movie. Because they
probably,
didn't. No.
He probably saw your ticket. He's like, "What's this going to fucking 4D?" He didn't appreciate this garbage.
He didn't appreciate this fucking trash. But it's like, okay, I can understand having leftover like Borderlands shit because that movie bombed like hell. But I think a lot of people saw this fucking Mufasa movie. Why the fuck is this still here?
Oh my
god. What
the
fuck? I'm gonna have to like, I'm just gonna like buy like a ton of acetone or whatever the fuck and just melt these in my bathtub or something. What the fuck?
Oh, I'm fucking crying. We haven't even started talking about the movie.
We haven't even started talking about the movie. Okay, well, I guess let's stop Moomy. All right. So, Moomy, what did you think of Tatsuki Fujimoto's Barely Disguised Fetishes, the movie?
I thought it was okay.
Oh, it was, really?
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was really good. I like this more than season one, if I'm going to be honest.
You know, I feel like I do. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to tell because this is so short.
That's fair.
I mean, the arc itself has more poignancy to it than the season one did, obviously, because
that was
Denji
that,
and Rize, whatever the fuck her name is.
Rize, yeah, whatever Rize. Her fucking name is.
Rize.
Rize Witherspoon.
Rize Witherspoon. Their dynamic was cute.
Yeah.
It had some nice pathos with all that. There was a lot of weird, like... This was the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time kind of like getting my thoughts together on Chainsaw Man as like a series, I guess. Okay. Where I was like, maybe I would like it better if I just read the manga. Or I'm like, I don't really know how I feel about the anime yet. Mm-hmm. And then watching this, I'm like, watching this after having read Fire Punch like last week, the week before.
Yeah.
Watching this, I'm like, yeah, I feel like I would appreciate this as an adaptation more if it were, if I were watching it supplemental to the manga as opposed to a replacement for it, right? Like, instead of this being the primary way I consume the new material, it would be better if I just watched this as like, oh, that, I'm going to see this as sick animation after I've already read it.
Yeah, yeah, to see how it gets reinterpreted into animation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was the, because like, they kept skipping around. And I kept asking people, I'm like, so did they like cut scenes from the ponytail guy and the angel? And
they're like, it does feel lopsided or like kind of underdeveloped in that regard. Cause you have like, yeah, you have that whole B plot with Aki and the angel devil. And it kind of like, I get what they're going for, but it also just feels underdeveloped. Even like the quote unquote romance in the movie also just kind of felt underdeveloped. Like you have like it's basically just the first half of the movie, and then the second half of the movie is a trip to the doctor for me.
I didn't think it was like too underdeveloped, the romance part. I thought it was fine the amount of time they gave it. I did think it was like weird to have the try to have the payoff with the angel and the other character.
Yeah.
Like when they did, because I'm like, I've only seen them in two scenes together. I think the last one was like before them in the car.
40 minutes
was like
ago. Yeah.
Him being like, I couldn't be friends with you. And then like they get in the car together and then he's like saving his life. Like, I can't, I don't want to see another people. Like, it's like, okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
But
yeah, apparently they did not cut a lot, which I guess makes sense when you think about it. It's only like an hour and a half movie. They could have definitely added stuff if they needed to.
That was so I've read a bit of the Chainsaw Man. I think I probably read maybe up through like what season one covered. I don't remember. But I remember just reading it being like, I'm flying through. This feels very, very brisk. And I'm not the biggest fan of how it's like the manga is paced, at least what I read of it, because I was just kind of like, it felt like I wasn't reading it at all, if I'm going to be. And maybe I wasn't in retro. It was just like speed reading and skimming through it. This is like probably like 3-4 years ago at this point.
You know, maybe I just hallucinated everything. Maybe this is all.
Yeah, maybe I'm actually just fucking lying right now and just completely misremembering. But compared to season one, I would say this definitely felt a lot more emotionally resonant. Like you don't really have a ton of that in season one. You have it a little bit with like Himino as a character, but outside of that, not really a ton. And the relationship here that it builds up with Denji and Reese and Ariza, how the fuck are you meant to say her fucking name? God damn it. Let me see. How do you pronounce? I think that's okay. Well, there's two there, so I'm just gonna assume it's Reza or Rezi or whatever the fuck. Let's see. What if I highlight this and just type and then just do translate? Right click, translate selection English. It just says Reese. God fucking damn it.
R-E-Z-E, right? It'd be like Reze. Yeah.
Reze. I probably should have been listening to the movie.
I feel like I would know. I knew, and then like I made the joke. Now I don't know anymore.
Yeah, but like their relationship and dynamic, I think, is a lot stronger than a lot of like the interpersonal. Like, because we don't really get a ton of interpersonal dynamics.
I think it was Reese
in season one.
I think that's how they're pronouncing it.
Okay, but it feels like we didn't really get like a ton of interpersonal dynamics like that in season one. And
well, you had this movie. You had the fucking smoker bitch and
but that was like, that felt like a comparatively like smaller component to season one, whereas it's basically like the primary focus of this arc of this movie.
Right.
And I, for basically the first half of the movie, I was really enjoying it. And then it became up like, even 4D trauma aside, I mean, it looks cool, but I'm also just not the biggest fan of the constant flashing lights, nauseating action. I understand why it's there. I understand that if the whole movie had like the intimacy and tone of the pool scene, that the fucking jocular shonen dude bros would not go and see the movie because that would make them feel weird or insecure because of toxic masculinity or whatever the fuck. But I think I would have liked the movie more if it was more of that than a big boom, 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 boom for like an hour.
Yeah. I don't know. My brother said something about that too. He's like, I didn't really like the action. I was like, I like the action, actually.
I like the action. It's just not what I think the movie excels at. Like, I mean, it does it very, very well, but it's not what I enjoy the most about the movie. And I think I would have enjoyed it more had it,
Interestingly, while I was watching it, I was thinking, like, actually thinking about this, I was like, Fujimoto actually has a really interesting way of doing his actions. Like, this is so him teaming up with Beam and running around in the middle of this typhoon, like fighting the bomb bitch, is so like chaotic and random.
Yeah,
but it works, and
I'm never like questioning it while watching the movie. Yeah.
No, it's like, yeah, it's not like a
it's absurd, but it's not doing like the Avengers thing, you know, where like Hawkeye is like, yeah, none of this makes any fucking sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
it doesn't wink at the audience or anything.
It doesn't make sense in like a chaotic good way where it's it's a breath of fresh air from a lot of battle shonens. Like you think of like a Naruto and Bleach and Dragon Ball, like that kind of that kind of show. And like it's a very structured fight, and there's not a lot of like chaos that happens. Like even in like the fucking Shinobi War arc of Naruto, it feels very structured. And I don't know if it's, I guess,
whereas
like
this
if you
almost
wanna,
feels like Calvin Ball.
Yeah, I mean, this is like straight fucking just like, what the fuck is happening? Like, well, he's riding a shark, running along a building, throwing chains at some bitch that blows people up, and there's like a baby, the big typhoon,
baby typhoon thing. It feels like something out of fucking like Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's just such like chaotic imagery. I'm just like, this is like so weirdly refreshing, in a way that like I don't know if there's anyone else that is like doing this kind of, like, even like as much as I love Dandadan, I don't think. I think the action is done really well in Dandadan.
And that's kind of what I've liked about Chainsaw Man, is that it does have like those like shonen elements that you see a lot nowadays. It's kind of embellished by the fact that Fujimoto is a crazy person.
Yeah. Like Dandadan, we talked about Dandadan's like actually, because I did glaze it, because it is like very fun set pieces. Like they're not all just like fight or whatever. It's like a race or running through the city or whatever. Like there's different things they do with it to kind of like do this like power struggle. This is like a straight up fight, but it feels like an actual fight where it's just like, it's the whole Mike Tyson quote. It's like, oh, everyone has a plan. Do they get punched in the back? This is just like, yeah, no one has a plan. Like, just shit's just fucked. Like, well, this bitch is blowing up half the city. Like,
it almost kind of like had like the energy of like Akira, where like the end of Akira, it just completely devolves, and it's like, what the fuck is happening now? What am I watching? Oh my god, this is horrific.
Yeah, I honestly would say this is even like more than Akira, because even like, Akira is like there's like destruction, but it's not like people just don't fuck like constantly.
I feel like a very salient point of comparison for that kind of thing. Well, you've never seen any of the Evil Dead movies, have you?
I saw the remake of the first one.
No, that's a bit of a different thing. I feel like Evil Dead 2 should probably be like required watching, because that movie, you see shades of it. I mean, it's in the fact that Ash is fucking running around with a chainsaw killing demons, and Denji kind of has a similar dumb personality to Ash, where he's kind of a fucking idiot, but he's really good at killing demons. Like the bit in the movie where Denji just is like, Beam is trying to tell Denji, like, yeah, you can use your chains to like move and stuff. And Denji's thought process is, oh, I could wrangle Beam in his shark form and use him to ride around. That feels like something Ash would do in like Army of Darkness. It's like, oh, he's fucking stupid and it's funny. Army of Darkness does not have like Ash running around with like a chainsaw on his hand. They get rid of that, unfortunately, and he just has like a robot hand, even though it takes place in the Middle Ages. Don't think about it. But Army of Darkness also has this fucking thing where it's like, oh, this is just devolving into chaos. But the chaos is not him like riding on a cloud fighting a demon baby thing. It's him fighting a demon version of himself, but the fight is basically them exchanging Three Stooges gimmicks.
Oh,
it's like it's that kind of insane. Oh. And I feel like that there's like a similar chaotic energy between Evil Dead and Chainsaw Man.
Honestly, it's kind of impressive when you think about it, because like I've always thought about this with stuff mm-hmm. like Dragon Ball specifically, like that kind of thing, mm-hmm. where it's like their power levels are like, we can blow up the moon. Mm-hmm. And they fight in the middle of occasionally like a Nappa thing will happen where he like blows up, was it West City or wherever the fuck it was?
Yeah, yeah.
But like most of the time, there's not really a lot of collateral. There's not a lot of chaos. It's just martial arts fighting. And they're like, I'll blow up the moon or I'll blow up the planet or something. And like the most chaotic I think you get really is like the Frieza Namek fight where like the planet's blowing up, but like everyone's kind of already gone by that point.
Like this always feels closer to like, and this will be a comparison that might not sit well with some people, but like Man of Steel. You know, like the whole like final fight in Man of Steel is just, oh my God, they're just destroying everything. That doesn't work because that's Superman. So it's weird to see Superman blowing up a gas station fighting a guy. Here it makes more sense because I don't think Denji really gives much of a fuck.
It also is more coherent, weirdly enough. Mm-hmm. Fucking off the wall as this is.
Yeah, I was never at any point confused by what was happening. Even like, this is a very obvious movie, to say the least. Like the pool scene, like they're intercutting like shots of like a spider eating like a butterfly and stuff. And I'm just like, well, that's not subtle symbolism at all. That's just, this is just a character manipulating Denji. And it was already kind of obvious, but now you're just really driving that home. Which was the other point of comparison. I think we may have talked about this when we watched season one. But like Fujimoto is like, I think the same age as you. And it makes me wonder if he maybe like watched Fooly Cooly at a similar age, because I feel like I see similar shades of Fooly Cooly in this as well. Like Naota and Denji.
They have a very interesting relationship with like the manic pixie dream girl, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Because like Rize or whoever the fuck in this one. And then I'm gonna look this up, because if I don't say their name,
Haruko?
Because they are a very beloved character in Fire Punch. If I don't say their name, Togata.
Oh, okay.
Togata and Rize, interestingly, both fit this kind of like image of the manic pixie dream girl, and they are both being manipulative with it, or like this is a mask. Like they are not actually, this is not their personality. They just feel like they had to fulfill a role in such a way. Obviously, Rize is doing it in a way that is more standard manipulative kind of way, whereas it's a little bit more interesting with Togata in Fire Punch how they kind of go about it. Fujimoto clearly has an interesting relationship with this archetype.
He really does. Well, there's like the famous like interview quote where it's like he said like his ideal woman is like someone who would like kind of be mean to him or whatever the fuck and like dominate him. I'm like, yeah, no, like people like we're saying like, you know, the fucking people are saying that the pool scene is like gooner slop or whatever. And I'm like, well, it is, really. It is good gooner something. We'll say it's a gooner gem is what this movie is. It's like Kizu Monogatari. It's a gooner
gem.
How
the fuck is that a gooner? Like, who the fuck is going to jerk off to that?
I did. Well, I was trying to, but the fucking seat kept shaking.
I was trying to, but I was like soaking wet and it was kind of hard to use the weird theater fucking water as lube.
It did weird me out that they didn't draw like her nipples or anything. I'm just like, but why?
They did.
Everyone has.
They do
those.
Show her nipple in profile. Like there's a weird shot where it's like
okay.
Her overlaid in profile or something. People were posting like, oh, look, it's her nipple. But it's just like the silhouette of her nipple. And I'm like, what is wrong
why?
With you people?
It's like, it's one thing to like, it's like, okay, it's kind of absurd that they're just not there at all. Cause oh no, it's perverting the mind of the youth with something that everyone has. It's a fucking basic part of anatomy.
Listen, as somebody that has gone through frame by frame of like End of Eva and like, got the titty scenes because it was like interesting. I'm like, oh, that's what this is supposed to be. Oh, that's what this. I don't know why you would do that with this.
Especially because the movie is like not even like out yet to go frame by frame. It's
like,
just
type in Rize Rule 34 if you want to see your fucking titties that bad.
Go look at the fucking Nora Fawn cosplays or whatever. But it's. Because I was thinking of Fooly Cooly, because, yeah, it's both, like, Denji and Naota both have these extraordinary powers, and they have toxic women in their lives, manipulating them for different purposes. Like, I mean, like, Riza is obviously, like, manipulating Denji. Even Makima is, it comes across like she's just obviously manipulating Denji in different ways. And it's, like, kind of like a similar thing. Like, Haruko is manipulating Naota. Mamimi is manipulating Naota, and they have different goals, different reasons for doing so, but it's a similar sort of like through line with the movie that I think is interesting. And I think that's, from what I've seen people talk about with like where the manga is at now, that seems to be basically just what the Chainsaw Man manga is. It's just the different women manipulating Denji constantly.
Yeah.
And him falling for it because he's a fucking moron, which I guess you can kind of hold against the movie a little bit.
He's a 16-year-old. He's got hormones.
Yeah. I mean, if someone looked like Riza and was nice to me, I would also just be like, all right, yeah, sure, whatever you need. Here's my credit card number. Here's my social security number.
I don't know. At 16, I probably wouldn't even been like that, honestly. Especially would be like that. I'm too jaded now. If someone's like nice to me, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
movie would just be like, be gone. Like you would just shove her out of the fucking you just shove her out of the fucking like phone booth into the rain, being like, bitch, I was in here, this is my fucking space, you come in here again, I'm gonna fucking shoot you, stand your ground laws, bitch.
No, it'd probably be worse. I'd just be like, oh hey. Just stay in the fucking phone booth quietly.
Like, hey, just like autistically stare at her.
Pull out a Beyblade.
it's like, dude, I'm like, you're like just thinking to yourself, just like, oh, dude, I'm so Ryan Gosling right now, just staring at her, dude, not fucking saying anything. You haven't showered in 3 days, so you just smell like shit. Be like, it's just like, and she's like looking away from you. He's like, yeah, just try not to make eye contact with me because I'm just that.
I have alpha
male. Yeah. Meanwhile, she's like trying not to vomit from the fucking stench of being in a confined space with you. These are the kinds of things that I fantasize about in my off time. There are some very, funny references throughout the movie as well. Like you caught the No Country for Old Men reference, right?
Remind me.
Where Riza is like choking that guy out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's like choking that guy out. And I'm like, oh, that's just Anton Chigurh. Country for old men. She's not making like the silly face that Anton Chigurh makes, but it's the exact same framing. I think it's very obvious. Like, that's a reference.
Anton didn't have his legs wrapped around him, though.
No, no. And well, and she wasn't choking him with fucking
handcuffs
and the guy's neck blood wasn't spewing everywhere. And then like all the stuff with Beam, the shark guy, who, can we talk about Beam for a second?
No.
He's kind of the MVP of the movie, if we break it down.
He is my brother didn't get this when I told him about it because he watched fucking Don and Don dubbed, but I was like,
okay,
that's just Okaroon's voice actor.
Is it? I didn't even notice that.
Oh, he sounds just like Okaroon, like screaming the whole time.
I guess I wasn't thinking of it because Okaroon doesn't scream a ton in Don the Don, at least not like that. But I don't really remember him that much in season one. Do you?
Beam? No. He shows up at the end.
Yeah.
When they find the katana guy, he's like in the
parking lot. I had to remind myself how season one ended because I was like, what happened at like the end of they just fought the katana guy and then it ended. I was like, oh.
Well, they kicked him in the balls.
Yeah.
It was a bonding moment. Nah,
it was a bonding moment. But I've loved him in this. He's such a fun character. And obviously, like, when he's like crawling around the fucking typhoon, like in the air, that obviously looks a lot like the weird shark with legs in Gyo, you know?
Oh yeah.
I was thinking of that. I was also thinking of, do you remember the shark cut in Lou Over the Wall?
Yeah, the fire cut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a specific cut in this movie that also reminded me of that as well. Where Beam was like running through. I'm like, maybe it's just the image of a shark running through a city. It's just there's only so many ways you can do that. But I don't know, that felt like an obvious point of comparison for me.
Yeah, that and part then, I would not anticipate that would be intentional, but
maybe. I mean, the most intentional, I think, overlap is Jinro. Like, I believe that's just like Fujimoto is just on the record to say that Jinro was like an influence on this arc, and I can see it pretty like obviously. There's the imagery of like how Risa transforms, like pulling the bomb. Pulling the thing out of her neck is very reminiscent of the opening scene of Jinro. And then also just like Jinro is also a story about a woman manipulating a guy, then kind of also falling in love by the end. And it just ends tragically.
This is more tragic. Which is,
which one is more tragic?
I would say this is more tragic.
I was thinking about that because like Jinro has a, I guess I won't spoil the ending of Jinro. Jinro is a very tragic ending, but like
it's a tragedy of like his own making in a way.
Like, yeah, whereas this is like Denji doesn't even really get closure. He doesn't even know that she dies. Granted, he might also be like too stupid for that.
Yeah,
like it's just like he just too stupid for trauma or something. I can see that being a part of his character. But that was something I was like thinking about, especially because, oh God, speaking of bad theater experiences, I saw someone just get up and leave before the credits even started rolling. Just as like the movie was ending, he was just like getting up to leave. I'm like, what the fuck? The credits haven't even started yet. What are you doing? Why did you get out of your seat? You fucking psycho.
That used to be a very common thing, actually.
Really? Why?
Like before the Avengers shit that like made it where people like gotta stay to the end so you watch the after credit sequence.
After credit scene.
Before that, people just left before the credits or like right when the credits started.
I can see like when the credits start. I can't see like before the movie is over. I guess maybe if you hated it, but even then, why didn't you just leave earlier? Just wait the extra 30 seconds, you fucking douchebag. What?
He's like, close enough.
Yeah. Throughout the movie, I was also just thinking, like, Power is just not in this movie at all. And I get to the post-credits scene, like, there she is.
There she is. And that's There's it. Our girl.
Yeah. There's Dang. Our girl. Her presence was missed, quote unquote, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
She was there.
Why wasn't she in the movie? Like, they give, like, the excuse at the start of her basically being, like, like, she's, like, drank too much blood or whatever, but that wouldn't keep her out of the movie for its entire length.
Because if Denji was still teamed up with Power, I don't think the events of this would have happened.
That's true. That's true. And I don't know, Makima was just doing something else with her, because Makima's also not in the movie very much either.
I guess this is, like, only, like, 10 chapters in the manga, 10 or 12 or something.
It's not really... To the movie's credit, like, I've seen, like, movies that are, like, canon, like the Made in Abyss movie, for instance, and those movies always have a problem of kind of just feeling like episodes were stapled together, like this could have just been split up into however many episodes, like the Konosuba movie, I remember being like that. You could maybe do that with this, but I feel like this doesn't feel as rigidly structured. As those, if that makes any sense. Like, I feel like even though this is a movie that is like a continuation of a TV series, it doesn't just feel like the TV series.
I watching this mm-hmm. after reading Fire Punch, I think I'm a Fujimoto fan.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm firmly of the opinion. I don't think there are any high profile mangaka that are really doing what he's doing. And I mean that in a very, like, a emotional pathos way.
Mm-hmm.
He is very good. I pray, this is something I praise Dandadan for,
mm-hmm.
where they use, like, the imagery of, like, very overtly sexual assault imagery,
mm-hmm.
To get across that feeling of, like, not taint. What, I just had the word. I literally, like, just
violation.
Had violation. Yeah. Violated feeling of, like, your personal, like, you can't do anything and you're defenseless and you're being violated.
Mm-hmm.
In a scene where it's, like, not overtly sexual. There's some sexual elements to it. Cause, like, they're just, one guy happens to be naked cause he's a fucking weird demon thing. And then, I guess someone's shirt gets ripped or whatever. It does a really good job in evoking that sort of, like, second layer of, like, emotion. Mm-hmm. This is like if someone, like, a how to put it, like, an avant-garde, like, someone that fucking would write Ergo Proxy or some shit, wrote a battle shonen.
Yeah.
Like
I said, it does have the feeling of being made by a crazy person.
This is much more streamlined from, like, Fire Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Fire Punch was, like, much more chaotic than weirdly enough, Fire Punch's structure, like, as, like, writing is not as chaotic, but it, like, is just, he's less refined as a writer, and so mm-hmm. it keeps bouncing around in a way that's, like, disjointed and it feels unrefined. This mm-hmm. is more refined structure wise like, as far as, like, the bare bones of the writing,
yeah,
but it feels more chaotic action and, like, what's happening within that structure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Fire Punch, reading that made me kind of more aware of, like, where this Chainsaw Man's kind of potentially going, where I can mm-hmm. get behind it. And, like, now I kind of do want to just read the manga. It's kind of like we talked about Sunny Boy here recently in the server. It kind of reminds me of, like, the Monkey Baseball episode 4.
Okay, elaborate on that, please.
Where, when I watched that reorientated my frame for the rest of Sunny Boy, right? Because up to that point, it's an anime original. You don't really know what it's doing, and you don't know how it's going to pay off. And so, like, when it's doing these things that aren't necessarily the greatest, but they could be, like, there could be a layer to them that you're missing because you just
mm-hmm.
you don't have that information yet. You need that, you're having to, like, give it the benefit of the doubt that it's going to do something with this dangling thread that it's like presenting you.
Yes.
Yeah. And with the monkey baseball episode happens, that reorientated my frame and my perspective, where it's like, oh, okay, I see what we're doing now. I can recontextualize what's happened before. I now have this frame that I can look at the rest of the show and I feel pretty comfortable where yeah. it's going.
That's like where you kind of like realize like, oh, this is all kind of like weird metaphors, basically.
Yeah. Chainsaw Man, like we just watched season one. We have not read the manga or anything like that. And I had not read or yeah. watched any of Fujimoto's other stuff until we watched Look Back like last year. So watching season one of Chainsaw Man, I'm like, this is good, but I don't know how good. I don't know.
Yeah. What it's not really doing. Clear what it's about. Yeah.
Yeah. This I feel like makes it more clear. Like it starts. Yes. The picture is forming. I feel like having read Fire Punch, it makes it more apparent where I'm like, oh, okay. I just didn't know.
Okay.
But now yeah, I know. Yeah. But this is making it more like the picture is still kind of forming. It's just not at like if you read Fire Punch and then read this, or if you just finished the first part of Chainsaw Man's manga, you would probably have the same perspective watching this as you know.
And, yeah. Well, it makes it a lot more clear what not what the story is about in like a plot sense, but what the story is about in like a thematic sense or an emotional sense, like what it's going for. And I feel like Fujimoto has a good ability to both handle things in a very like exaggerated and stylized way, very broad kind of stylization way. But then also like with the you know, the whole like romance plot stuff at the start of the movie, he's able also to like dial that back and just like into more like intimate moments as well. That, you know, they don't feel very insane. They actually feel very like tender and nice. And it's interesting to see how that balance kind of manifests in this movie.
Listen, Denji has the hedgehog's dilemma. He cannot hold hands with his chainsaw hands. He cannot kiss the love of his life with his chainsaw head.
Yeah. I would still say that I like Don to Don more overall, just because I like the just general cast, like the overall ensemble more. But in terms of like the presentation and the way it goes about communicating certain ideas, I feel like Fujimoto has a lot better sense of just kind of getting stuff across in a very visceral kind of way. Like the imagery of like when they're both like, you know, basically tied together with the chains, just kind of like sinking into the water. Like that's like just like a really, that's just really powerful imagery that you don't see a ton of, especially.
Oh, Fujimoto is so fucking good at like this memorable imagery.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about this already, but we watched the first season. The concept of Chainsaw Man is already just like a fucking baller concept.
Yeah.
The concept of Fire Punch is a fucking awesome concept. Like,
yeah.
They're just, he just is such a striking concept, like imagery concept in general. Like, he's so good at that in a way that,
but like, it doesn't feel like he's using it as like a crutch either, which I think is like a thing like some people can like fall into, where you have like this like really broad stylization, but that's kind of all you can offer up. And I feel like Fujimoto is better at offering like stuff outside of that as well, especially when you look at his like more character driven work, like a Look Back.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see preferring the first two seasons of Don to Don that we've gotten so far over what we've got animated of Chainsaw Man. I think Don does do some stuff, but like, obviously I think it does a better job of endearing me to Okarun and
Momo.
I want to say Tomoe or something. Momo.
Yeah.
Then maybe Denji and Power, or Denji and Aki, or who, like, I like Denji.
Yeah.
I like Denji, but like, we're not really like endeared to two characters together like you are in
this. Right. Don. Yeah. Whereas like the strength of something like Don the Don is that like romance between the two, and Well, I mean, so far, all we've gotten in Chainsaw Man are increasingly toxic relationships.
I feel like I also like how they do references in Dandadan more.
That's fair.
Chainsaw Man is more overt.
Yeah. Honestly, like the No Country for Old Men stuff, which I was laughing at in the movie.
It's also like it's fun, but it's also like weirdly out of place, I guess. Whereas like in Dandadan, it feels like they're just having fun with it.
More character. Well, it feels more character driven because like when you see like Momo doing like the Ultraman pose or whatever, it kind of just reinforces the fact that she's also kind of a nerd herself, basically. Whereas like it feels more character based, whereas in something like Chainsaw Man, like the No Country for Old Men thing, that's not like something she's doing intentionally. That's just like a meta kind of thing.
Yeah.
Rather than something character driven.
She's looking at you in the audience, giving you a wink.
Yeah.
As she chokes the life from her victim.
What I will say though is I think that Fujimoto as a creator is definitely one of the like most interesting people to just be following. Even if I'm not necessarily like vibing with everything that he's doing like a ton, he's definitely like one of the more interesting creative forces, just like given his like personal style and the way you can kind of like glean aspects of himself in these works, I think makes him. And also, again, he's really fucking weird. We have to appreciate the fact that the man is fucking crazy. The man role plays as his younger sister on Twitter.
That he doesn't have.
What the fuck? Yeah. Wait, what?
I don't think he has a younger sister, does he?
No, he does not have a younger sister. He just created a younger sister character that he posts as on Twitter. what it's like, you know, I see something like that and I go, you know what, that makes perfect sense from the guy who made Chainsaw Man. That really tracks based on like the personal, like, you know, the goldfish story, right?
Yeah
stuff like that where it's like, okay, yeah, he's a fucking weird guy.
I have talked about in the past, I think mainly in like videos, I think I remember specifically the Shobaku video, that there's like a level of life experience that feels missing in a lot of writing that doesn't necessarily, like, I think of something like a Sword Art Online, and for all the criticisms you can give that, like, the main problem I have with it is it doesn't resonate with any kind of real experience. Like, you can have, like, these larger-than-life stakes and stuff, but in, like, ground it in something that, like, you could resonate with, right? Like, just...
Right, yeah.
Something, like, just some side thing or that kind of contextualizes what's happening. It doesn't have to be about the size of the stakes that are going on. But something like... That's not just Sword Art Online, but it is a lot of stuff. And even stuff that I like, I feel like... sometimes doesn't necessarily resonate as like a real experience. Like, I'm not like, oh, this person clearly experienced this thing they're writing about. I feel like with Chainsaw Man, as fucking like with Fujimoto, even and as a general writer, I feel like as schizo as he is, there is an authenticity to his writing that makes the schizophrenia work.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, like it feels like he's transposing personal experiences that he's had in a very, we'll say, strange manner. Like, I mean, you can even see that in something like, have you seen Eraserhead?
I've seen the first third, I think.
Well, Eraserhead is basically like a movie that it's basically the anxiety of becoming a parent when you're not ready. And it's a movie that very much feels like it's being born out of like Lynch's own experience at the time. And as a result, it's even though it's incredibly abstract and strange, the what it gets at emotionally is so salient and effective that it kind of just is like, yeah, I feel like you'd only achieve something like that if it was something that you have like grappled with yourself in some kind of way. And, you know, trauma emotional experiences in general are something that it's like it's difficult to translate that into words and, you know, where abstract imagery, I think, and symbolism, where that works best is where language kind of fails, basically.
Yeah.
So like it's, and when it's not necessarily just like, oh, it's just abstract for the sake of being abstract, but it's abstract in a way that communicates something that if you were to try it, if you could maybe put it into words, but it's, you're really just going to lose something in translation if you try. Music is a lot like that, because, you know, music, even though there's words to the music, we kind of just accept that poetry, you know, the words are often just metaphorical or more abstract. And then, you know, you then have to factor in like the way the actual sound of the music makes you feel and stuff. And yeah. You get that a lot. Yeah, yeah. I think especially with this movie, you do get that kind of that kind of like very visceral experience, because the movie is fundamentally a tragedy at the end of the day, and I think it does a very good job at communicating that kind of like sense of tragedy.
Yeah, Fujimoto is great at that sort of abstract kind of imagery stuff, but like containing it in this aesthetically cool story. Like, I think like Fire Punch, right? The imagery of a guy walking through a frozen, desolate wasteland, constantly on fire that cannot go out, just regenerating, evoking the sense of like constantly suffering, right? Life, to live is to suffer. That is the coolest visceral way you can portray that imagery, right?
Right.
Like, Chainsaw Man is very similar, where it's like, even this arc where he's like, ah, everyone wants Chainsaw's heart, but no one wants Denji's heart. This is at its core just a story about a boy trying to find his way in the world and like being kind of stupid. And it's conveyed through these like weird, off the wall but stylish fractals of like ideas. There's not really necessarily a cohesive theme. Else, I mean, like, they're demons, but like, and they got like weird heads, and I think that's about as cohesive as it gets. Like, I thinking about it, actually, I do wonder, this is kind of off what I was saying, but a bit of a tangent, I do wonder how much the idea of like movies play into the power scaling of like Chainsaw Man, like in the sense of like, well, I wonder
is so powerful is obviously because of Evil Dead.
That is why he's so powerful, because people associate chainsaws with killing demons because of the Evil Dead. And so that's why
Evil Dead is just like the most popular movie ever in this universe.
Yeah. Something like, and then like, they're, because they reference movies and stuff like that. Like, because the whole thing about the demon stuff in this world is it's based on like fear, right? Like, so the fear of the bomb, the fear of chainsaws, so like
guns and stuff. Yeah.
Obviously, media would play a part in that, right? Like the whole thing with sharks, Jaws. Like, did people fear sharks before Jaws? Really? Like, was that a big phobia? To some extent,
but definitely not as much. Yeah.
Like I wonder how much.
Saying is, it's a story about how media can affect reality.
Yeah, that's actually like a theme in Fire Punch.
Is it? Okay?
Yeah, that is unironically a theme. I would not be surprised in the slightest if that ends up being like something that they touch on in Chainsaw Man, because that is like a major kind of point in. Because like, again, Fire Punch is like just weird fractals, just like Chainsaw Man. And it just kind of feels like he's going through different stages of like his experiences and like portraying them in like this weird arc that if you were to like go into, I feel like more so than Chainsaw Man, even if you go into Fire Punch and you just like, we're like, okay, I'm going to take chapter 6, then chapter 30, and then chapter 52. Like, it would be unrecognizable from like where you were. Like, it's just so like weird and off the wall and like just completely disjointed, where it like keeps going to different things, but it works because it's so grounded in this pathos of like emotion and this authenticity of this experience that is being reflected in these like weird fractals. And I feel like Chainsaw Man has managed to do what Fire Punch did. Maybe not. I haven't finished it, so I can't say as well or not.
Yeah.
I don't know if it does it as striking. I don't know it, but it is more consumable and is more streamlined in a way that's like cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have to point out, by the way, before someone fucking comments, they may already have, that the mangaka, the author of Don the Don, did work as an assistant under Fujimoto on Fire Punch and Chainsaw Man.
Oh, yeah.
So that's true. There is that interesting connection. But I think our point is mostly just that. And this is a mix of him as a creator and then also just marketing. Fujimoto feels like, I don't like this word, he feels like an auteur. If that makes any sense, in a marketing sense.
Why would you
sense,
use that term?
In a marketing sense, the Fujimoto branding. When I went to see Look Back in theaters, they were there because it was Fujimoto. You know, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about.
To be fair, and I think the auteur stuff is a lot different in manga because, like, yeah, they have like assistants, but like I don't know how
assistants and like editors and stuff. Editors can play a big role.
There
are fewer people making manga, making more a single manga.
I feel like editors play more so of a role than like assistants as far as like creatively.
From what I understand,
assistants feel like they contribute more as far as like aesthetics. Cause like,
yeah,
they will, if they just put their assistant in charge of like backgrounds, like that, the feel of the backgrounds are then completely handled by that assistant or whatever.
Whereas right. Like, yeah. Whereas like an editor will more so be like, we should maybe do this as a story or do something more along these lines because that'll be more popular or like make more sense as a story.
Naruto is a very famous and easy
of course.
Example to point to because
yeah.
Like Sasuke and Sakura only exist because of his editor.
Yeah. There are people who speculate that the fucking Naruto editor basically just wrote the first however many chapters of Naruto.
I mean, he definitely like helped him write Sasuke's arc, like when he left, like it was a very clear like, oh, this is just, we're just doing something different, because he literally like starts an organization and he's like, oh, we're the snake or something, and then his editor leaves and they're like, okay, we're gonna rebrand our organization, we're the hawk now.
You know, I have seen some people even speculate that that first arc in season 2 of Jujutsu Kaisen, that was just written by someone, that was just written by someone else, basically. Like maybe like an assistant or an editor or someone. And then it went back to, what was his name? Gege or whatever. After
I mean, I wouldn't blame anyone for doing, like, if you have an idea for a story,
very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have an idea for a story and you're like, you feel confident in writing certain things that might not necessarily translate to being good at writing like a hook, basically. Like,
yeah,
you might have like really interesting, like I could basically just apply this like videos and stuff, right? You might have a great video idea or like great video essay,
but how do you start the video?
How the fuck do you start a video? I'm asking you, audience.
how do you want us to start these podcast episodes?
I don't know how to start anything. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I've tried everything.
There's another thing that we haven't talked about, which is the direction of this movie is obviously very different from the direction of season 1.
Oh, yeah.
And I like this more. I don't dislike the way season 1 looks. But I think I like I'm also just generally not the biggest fan of like that, like the filmic realism style of Chainsaw Man. Just like as an aesthetic. I'm not saying it looks bad. Again, I think Chainsaw Man season 1, that is a good adaptation that a lot of anime would be very lucky to have something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But aesthetically, I do like this movie more, if that makes any sense.
It is
like a bit of an apples and oranges comparison, because also we're comparing a TV show to a movie, but
right. I like him about the same. There's not a lot in season 1, I feel like, that could have benefited from this style. Some stuff maybe. But like, I don't know how much it would have like enhanced it. Maybe I changed my mind if I read the manga Maybe if I read the manga, I'm like, oh yeah, this would have been fucking baller.
Oh, so this is what people were complaining about.
Yeah. But I liked the color splash stuff they did. I don't know if it's just because, I don't know if it's because like I know the background of people complaining that didn't have color splash and all this shit.
Yeah.
That it feels a bit cynical.
It feels a little bit maybe tacked on. Like, cause like when I think of something like that, the first thing that comes to mind for me is Edith and Tachi. Edith and Tachi is basically what I think, like the people who didn't like the way Chainsaw Man looked in season one. That's basically what they wanted it to look like. And fair, maybe that does just make more sense given the manga. But Edith and Tachi also looks very different from this movie as well.
I wonder,
like, it doesn't go like full, this movie does not go full bore into like hyper stylization. You get flourishes of it on occasion, but it doesn't feel like a completely different, it does look different, but it's not a completely different beast. Like even something like Monogatari to Kizu Monogatari, I would say there's a bigger difference there aesthetically than season one into this movie.
Yeah. I wonder how people would feel if they did like the JoJo coloring in this. We're like, they just would change complete like color schemes, like mid shot.
I mean, I would like that. I like that kind of thing. I feel like people, it's always a question because you're never going to please everyone. And there's going to be some fucking dumbass who's going to take an in-between smear frame out of context and be like, ooh, people consider good animation. And it's like, shut the fuck up. You just posted a still image, but who cares?
It's
11 million views. Yeah. It's 11 million views and like 200,000 likes on Twitter or whatever. And then, you know, producers see that and they're like, well, clearly what people want is for anime to look like a dour live action movie.
I guess looking at it, it's just like the volume covers. I guess if they do a season two, that would cover all of part one.
I think there are two more arcs left in season two. In part one. So I think they could do one more season that would cover all of part one. When we're gonna get another season, I mean, because what, season one came out in 2022, it's been like 3 years now, so 2028 maybe, 2027, so I don't think we're gonna get it next year by any means.
It could be fast tracked because maybe they're having issues with like the director and all that,
maybe,
so then maybe that played a part. I don't know. I'm probably gonna read the manga at some point.
Just read the manga.
I mean, the anime is good. I'm not saying I'm going to read the manga because it's bad. And this is not a Lucifer the Biscuit Hammer situation.
But you want to get the Fujimoto straight from the fucking source. You know what I mean?
I gotta suck that Fujimoto tea. You know what I'm saying?
suck that Fujimoto straight out of the fucking dick of his penis. You know what I mean?
Hey, no.
no homo. You know what I mean? We're sucking him off, but it's in a respectful way, you know. It's like
why are we turning the fucking?
You know, you kiss the ring, you know, you kiss the little head of his cock or whatever. It's just something they do over there in Japan. I don't understand it, but hey, who am I to judge?
Yeah, I thought this was a good movie. I don't know if I can't give it an 8.
No, I wouldn't say I loved the movie. Really liked it. But, I mean, like, I loved 100 Meters. This movie has moments that I like. It's kind of just the fucking action that it's just never gonna be. I'm not much of a hype guy when it comes to just big, boom, flashing lights.
How am I the hype or a moments guy of this fucking dynamic?
I honestly can get into it. Like that last episode of To Be Hero X is like that. I point to that now and I go like, this is what the standard for aura farming should be. God damn it, this is fucking awesome. But when it comes to just like big explosions and just shit flying all over the screen. I'm just kind of like, yeah, that sure is animated.
Listen, the Shibuya arc of Jujutsu Kaisen is fucking great, all right?
I was watching some of that, some episodes of that. I think I saw the part where Gojo, he like runs really fast, and I'm like, okay. He like runs really fast and kills all these demons, and then it just is over. And then he gets put in a little box, and I'm like, oh, that was it? Okay.
Oh, that, no. That's like the preamble.
Oh, okay.
That shit goes off the fucking rails. Like, you see that, you're like, oh, that looks all right. That looks pretty good. And then, like, they fight, like, some fish dude who looks like a fucking Cthulhu creature. You're like, oh, that's pretty good looking.
I saw the, they brought in a fucking giant robot and were doing Gurren Lagann references. And I was still just kind of like,
eh. That was like, okay. I mean, I wasn't like, it was cool, but it wasn't like, oh my God, this is awesome. No, but
that I think that does kind of speak though to maybe like a difference, because like we can look at something like Chainsaw Man and go, that's fucking crazy. He's a chainsaw guy fighting a giant baby typhoon and he's riding a shark. But then like Jujutsu Kaisen can bring in like giant robots and stuff, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, that is a thing. I think it's just like a difference in execution on some granular level that I'm not smart enough to articulate on this podcast at the moment, because I haven't really sat down and thought about it all. I haven't even really seen season two. These are just like episodes I've watched kind of like sporadically in a Discord call.
I will say Jujutsu Kaisen, the Shibuya incident arc, has this like escalation where I'm just like, what are we doing? Like what happens after this? Like, I'm sure they fuck it up.
I think the story falls off. I think people were pretty mad at how the Jujutsu Kaisen ended.
I have no idea. I'm sure it falls off, but like the execution of that, at least like season two, is just like, but no, like the escalation in the Shibuya incident arc is fucking, because the budget after like I think episode 12 he like fights like a bug thing and it sucked, but after that episode like it just constantly has like great animation and you're just like, what the fuck, how are you how are we like, to where like it gets to the point where like the whole fucking city is like being destroyed in this fucking Sakuga fest and you're just like, holy fuck, what is happening? This is going to go on for 9 episodes. How are you still?
That sounds like it would give me a migraine.
It's segment. Like, it's not like it's, I mean, it has an escalation, where people just keep dying and shit. But it's not like all just one continuous battle where there's like no beginning or ending or something. It's like,
okay,
it's structured. So I don't think it's like, just like migraine inducing, but I could see like maybe the specific episode in question might give you like a sensory overload.
I give this movie I really wish a cute girl would kiss me and bite my tongue off out of 10.